You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
All right, bueno, mi gente, this is Christian. Once again, coming back with La Verdad Podcast, and it's for the four of us today. So
I'm back.
It's been like 8 weeks.
So who do we have on the mics? They might not recognize you.
But they better recognize us by now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
So who do we have?
V Fig on the mic.
I'm back. And Nati, hello, hello.
And what's going on, familia? It's Carlos and. Man, it's fun to be back on the mic. It's been a little while.
It has. When was the last time all four of us were together?
When I was in Chicago.
July. It's been a while.
God.
A couple months ago was for my birthday and stuff like that, right? Might have came after that.
No, I went after that. I went early September, late August, one of the two. Either way, it doesn't matter.
It's been a while.
Some changes have been happening. Some good changes, I think. As you all noticed, probably with the last episode or the one before that, we did update the logo, right? Yeah. We updated the podcast logo. For a long time, it was just Christian and I, but I know people were asking us, you know, who are the two ladies on the microphone? And Christian and I, we both wanted it to be official, but I don't know if anyone officially asked. They just, we were happy with it, so we all say cool. But after a while, we sat down, we talked, and we made it official.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where now it just feels like you mentioned, official, and we were able to work together and have little tasks here and there. So I know that Nati's been working on doing the outreach. So how's that going on? Like, how do you feel about it?
It's good. I'm excited. I'm liking reaching out to new people and just getting the word out about who we are. And, you know, it's nice to see when they come into our little space, positive feedback of the office and the vibe. And I know Pinky said she felt very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving it.
The vibe is there for sure. And I know that with that, we're also VFigs working on some events and stuff like that. So
yeah.
How do you like this so far?
I mean, I think, just going off everything that's been said a little bit, I think it's really exciting. I think we were like totally hyped that we got our own faces on the logo. Like, it's legit official. Yep. And just the excitement that we're getting and the hype of it all. I think we have our own like culture as far as our podcast goes. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely excited to get working on events so that we can continue growing and telling people who we are. So that's definitely in the works now.
Yeah, there's a lot of change and a lot of positive feedback that we've been getting. Carlos, we just got into Audio Boom as well.
Yeah, which, man, that's
a new platform, and you know, we've both been able to grow, and now we have a huge team supporting us as well. So how is that coming along?
No, I'm actually real glad you said that, Christian, because just looking at our stats, I do see we have quite a bit of new listeners coming in as a result of switching over to Audio Boom. So the fact that, you know, not the big figure coming in, that's not the only change. Right now, we switched over to Audio Boom. So if you go on our website, if you see anything we post on social media, we're no longer posting it through SoundCloud. We're going through Audio Boom.
Yeah.
And we've got, you know, I don't know if she wants to say her whole name, but Diana over at Diana. We've talked on the phone once. I don't remember which way, but she's been really cool. A great help helping us transition over. But one change that you're all going to notice now, especially anyone who's listening to the podcast, is that probably when this episode comes out, a lot of you will start hearing an advertisement. And that's the biggest piece of it. So now we're able to start monetizing the podcast. We've never asked you for money. You know, we'll sell shirts. It's a way to make money, but it cost us to buy all this recording equipment. It cost us to
the traveling.
Sometimes, the traveling, gas. I'll drive to Chicago. The other side will come over here to Michigan to hang out with me. And so this will allow us to start funding some of these things. So just bear with us, it's 30 seconds. And we tweaked it around. So hopefully it's things that all of y'all are interested in too. So it won't just be some random advertisements. And over time, the idea is going to be that as the audience grows, Audio Boom is going to help us make some money and monetize that all this content. And on your end, you can just keep supporting it on your end. So if you're looking for a new way to listen to podcasts, I'll give them a shout out. You know, try and download Audio Boom. You can get it on through Android, through iTunes.
Yeah.
And I found it pretty cool. But yeah, if not, you don't have to change it. You can still listen to it through Google Play Music, through any podcast apps you've been listening to. I made sure that it still gets to those locations.
Yeah. So mi gente, those that are following us now and are listening to us through the new platform of Audio Boom, welcome to our show. We try to discuss different topics. You might have heard of other group talk sessions, which is basically us four just kicking back and talking about current events. So this is what we're going to be doing today for our episode. It's just more of a group talk. We've had a couple different interviews here and there, so we kind of wanted to cater it back, relay back, kick it back, and talk about what's going on. So if one of those things that's going on is that Nati's mad at us.
And my other partner who's mad at them too is in here, Shady. So I'm holding it down for you and I. And
she's hating. So, she had her arms crossed.
I am.
The corner.
I
she am. Walked in Let with me, a little poochy face.
Yeah, she didn't want to come out of the, I'm here.
Let's do this.
Open the door.
Christian tried moving the recording back an hour because he had a hangover. I'm like, nope.
I got
stuff
plans
to do. And I didn't invite
friends
y'all.
To chill with. So... just a little bit of
what
background.
That was about. It makes sense now. I was lost when I saw that text.
I know. And then Carlos was like, yeah, I have stuff to do too.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
So a little background, what's going on. So as most of you guys know, half of the team or the majority of the team lives in Chicago. And right now the Cubs are in the World Series. Unfortunately, with the fact that the Cubs are winning, you get your,
are not.
You get your haters,
you
know.
Expose that aren't.
You get your non-Cub fans haters. So Nati tends to be a non-Cub fan.
Not 10,
hater.
She is.
I am. I'm not a Cubs fan. I am a Sox fan. But don't put me in this group of the Sox fan haters where they, you know, I'm not losing no sleep at night if they win or if they lose. So, and I when that home run was hit yesterday by Cleveland, I clap my hands.
So again, hating.
All right. All right. I guess 80. I am in that.
So,
group.
So we you know, V-Fig and I decided to go to the local watering hole, right? A bar.
Yeah. Where I grew up. Yeah.
And, so we just kind of figured, you know, they're Sox fans. They're not trying to go out to watch the Cubs game with a bunch of Cubs fans. And we don't want that negative vibe. You know what I'm saying? So
we didn't make
any formal invitations. And Nati got butthurt about it. And now she didn't want to move the recording another hour.
Yep. I was butthurt.
Looking at me.
I was butthurt because I'm sensitive. And
because
I
made my comment about Facebook.
Vanessa put the extent, the I'm sorry, extended the invite via Facebook.
It wasn't even meant to be a Facebook.
Knowing
I literally, I was like,
she has no friends.
I was like, I'm just going to tell Facebook, I'm going to be at this local bar tonight, even though I don't have any friends. Like, we've all know that. Anybody that listens to this podcast.
Exactly. I am her friend.
I have no friends. So I was like, I'm just going to put it on Facebook. It was literally not intended to be Facebook invite at all. It was a random status.
Let's not
like,
forget,
hey,
if you're
going to be in town, this is where I'm going to be.
Let's not forget, Shady got the cousin invite where he ended up calling Christian. And Christian's like, oh, yeah, hey, bro,
no,
I'm going to be here tonight.
Say, oh, yeah.
If you want
to
come.
Yeah, we're going to the bar to watch the Cubs game.
I think Shady's been missing
Shady's
us.
Shady is we're all the type. I think we have that relationship, me and him, where we don't need an invite. We'll just be like, all right, I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, no, but I'm a girl. I need an invite.
I think at the end of the day, Shady's been really missing us. He's been trying to have like
Shady
like,
and
us
this
to
is the
things.
Thing. Shady and me have been missing our friends. That's what it comes down to.
Aww.
Yeah, you know, on Facebook, now they tagged me on this meme or was it?
Oh, the video of the best friend. It was like a
when
I
miss your best
you.
Friend.
So V-Fig's been trying to plan a wine night, just a girl, so I gotta make that happen. So yeah.
You know, Carlos, the biggest thing is that I'm very superstitious, you know, and I think anybody that's of Latino descent or the Caribbean, and plays baseball tends to be very, very superstitious. You might have your superstitions with football or any of the sports. You watch a lot of football and basketball, right?
Man, so. I'm Dominican. I watch baseball too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the – well, I'm rooting for the Cubs for you. Like,
last night, you know, that first inning or so, like the first, like, 20 minutes, everybody was all hyped. Yeah, the whole bar was going crazy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, we're not doing well. And it got
very depressed.
Yes, the whole, like, just that atmosphere, the mood was just so like,
which just sucked, you know. I just wanted to kick my phone and just like, especially when Nati was texting that they were like all happy. I wanted to kick my phone and throw it out.
On a positive note, I think it's good for the city. And by the time this podcast is released, we'll know who won the World Series. Yeah. So, this might sound silly to some of you guys because it would have been ended, but yeah, I think the whole vibe. Oops, sorry. The whole vibe for the city is really good, and the city's excited about something at the end of the day, and it's good for Chicago.
It's one of those things where, you know, I hope to be able to see every single team here win a championship. So I've seen the Bulls, I've seen the White Sox, the Blackhawks. I'm hoping for the Cubs to be able to win something and the Bears.
Shady's waiting for the Bears.
Well, hold on. It sounds like Chicago's kind of spoiled. I think you guys are good right now. You've had some championships. let Detroit win a little.
You know, especially with all this negativity, like everybody coming together, everybody being excited. This is really good.
It's a good feeling. But back to the whole superstition thing is that, you know, you when you go, I think baseball has a lot more superstition than any other sport. Like you go to the bar and I was talking to B-Fig's dad and we were talking about how we will wear the same type of shirt, you know, or he always carries his lucky jersey and he forgot it yesterday. I got to call him out on that. So there's a bunch of different things that people do. Like my brother can't watch the game at home.
Which is why he's pissed about coming out last night.
I feel like they're losing because I'm not watching the game in my house drinking my six pack of Blue Moon. So I definitely gonna have to just stay here. I'm gonna go eat some home cooking and then go come back quickly to watch the game. So
and yes, I was invited.
So you know what? It's one of those things where it's a family pastime and I'm definitely having fun with it and it's depressing, but at the end of the day, I never even thought they would go all the way to the World Series. So
yeah,
I'm finally able to see that.
It really is.
Now, another cool thing too is that, one of the things that I've seen too is like it's Halloween weekend, you know. So, by the time you guys hear it, it's gonna be past Halloween. But today is Sunday. So Sunday last night was when everybody was going out for Halloween.
Oh my god, you're gonna talk about so at the bar, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So we were at the bar everybody is everybody's a Cub fan.
I didn't see it because I wasn't there. Nothing was in
there.
So we're at the bar and it's literally every single seat's taken and everybody's wearing blue, right? We're sitting there, it's like everybody's depressed because the Cubs are losing. It's probably the sixth inning right now. I think the home run had just happened. Oh, this lady comes in all dressed in red like a bruja, walks in
with a
in the middle of the bar. Everybody just stares at her and like, she looks around like, oh,
bright
shit.
Red too. It's not even like a black witch. It's like a bright ass red hat.
She walks into the bar and looks around like, oh, shit. They ain't celebrating Halloween here.
She's the only one dressed up.
It she did a so quick funny. Walk to the end of the bar and came right back out like, oh, wrong place.
Oh, that was
the funniest thing ever.
I would have died.
That reminds me. So last weekend was Caleb's school Halloween party, right? So all the kids are dressed up. And so I decide, okay, I'm going to dress up, but I wasn't going to go all out. So I put a little, you know, I was a little cat. So I face painted my face as a cat, whatever. So I walk in and no adult is dressed up. So I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh God, this is awkward. Thank God I didn't go all out because my original Caleb's Buzz. So he told me I had to be Woody, not Jesse, Woody. So I'm like, thank God I didn't go all out. So whatever, we're sitting there chilling, and then like an hour later, two more parents come in and they're dressed up. as peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, oh, I was dying laughing because their faces when they walked in were the same as mine.
Oh, no.
But theirs were more obvious, like, granted, they won the adult costume contest.
That's the worst. That's the worst feeling. Like, I always, like, Halloween was always one of those holidays where I'm like, damn, like, I don't want to walk into the bar and be Peppa that just watched it all.
But you know what? That happened to me and Auntie. Although we were going to a Halloween party, it's just that we didn't know that the party we were going to was in the back. So, like, mind you, we were like, I mean, we killed it last year. Like, we were Poison Ivy and Bane.
Oh, right.
And remember, we walked to the bar.
That party?
Yeah. It was my cousin's best friend, her, Nathi.
Oh, yeah.
And we walk in, like, we got the address. Like, we're in the right place. We walk in. I'm like, what? It's just a bar.
Everybody was mostly guys
just chilling at the bar. We're like, what? And I'm looking in the, I'm like, oh, there's a back section. And I see some people in costume. I'm like, oh, okay, we're back there. But that's, it was embarrassing. So embarrassing. Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit.
That's why I always feel like Halloween. I don't think I've ever dressed up until I had my daughter, probably, just because now I could blame it on.
Yeah.
I've been like, oh, I have to. My daughter wanted me to do it.
Yeah. What's Abby dressing up as this year?
This year she had 3 different costumes.
Jesus.
So she had a party at school too. So she was doing Joker. She has the Wonder Woman, and then your basic, you know, Frozen. Elsa.
Carlos, how about little mama over there? What's she dressing as?
We've been pretty whack this Halloween. We haven't done anything. That's why I'm over here quiet in my corner.
I thought you did the Frida Kahlo.
So we always had the idea to make our daughter an influential woman every year, but we got busy. Like, my wife started a new job, I started a new job, and we kind of just slipped up on that. So nothing. It's whack. I haven't done nothing this weekend except watch.
She was Frida Kahlo one year?
Last year.
Last year?
It's pretty dope, too.
It's one of
the best kid ones I've seen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty cool.
And you know what's crazy, too, is, like, you know, I'm looking on Facebook, I'm looking at Instagram, looking at people's, like, I haven't seen one costume. I'm like, damn, that's a good costume.
I thought the coolest one was this guy dressed up as a water bottle flip.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen the YouTube videos of, like, people, they take a water bottle and they flip it,
Okay.
And it lands, right? So this guy put, like, plastic all over himself and then put, like, a logo around him and then put like a blue cap
or something,
and then just did a flip.
That's
and
funny.
It was a water bottle flip. It was hilarious.
I thought this year I've seen some online, obviously. I've seen some pretty creative ones. I saw someone from the Sandlot dress as the lifeguard and the nerd. I thought that was really creative.
My friend actually dressed up as what's his face? The main character, kind of the Latino kid.
Yeah.
Man, I forgot.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, and he looked just like him. You know, he has the
white T-shirt, and the Converse
with the black shirt over in the Converse.
So I got a quick question: cool. Do you guys ever have an embarrassing Halloween costume that you wish you never wore?
No,
I wish I never wore. Oh, but yesterday we were comparing. I was actually Poison Ivy. I was like 10, 11 years old. And so we were comparing that Poison Ivy to the one I did last year. So
when I was a kid, I think the default costume for our little kids was the witch, vampire.
Or a witch, yeah.
Well, for a boy, you know, it'd be a vampire.
Uh-huh.
So we were vampires, I think, for like 10 years straight. And then one year, I think we were clowns. And then one year, I was a hibarito. No, not the sandwich.
That's hilarious.
That was funny. Check back on previous podcasts.
Talking about
that,
like...
That's hilarious.
Exactly. That was like the first podcast I think we had with the girl.
But talking about
funny costumes, I've seen a couple pretty cool ones. There was this one kid dressed up as an elotero, or like an ice cream man. I think that was cool, especially when it's kids that do it. I think it's like, you know, very, very funny. They had another girl that was dressed up as the chicharrones that you buy from the elote man.
Oh my god! Oh yeah, I saw that. That's right.
She was killing it. I think it was on one of those Latino Instagram account, so you should check it out. But I think when people start thinking outside of the box,
it's
when
those
costumes
ones
are hilarious. Like, you know, people dressing up as, you know, I thought about dressing up as a Paris police officer and then having somebody be
I saw that.
I don't want to be that.
I saw someone dressed as a parrot. One of my friends on Facebook, Paris Robber, and then one was Kim Kardashian. I was like,
that's
too soon.
Horrible.
Too soon. Hey,
I'm not sure if they got caught in the microphone, but if you guys heard some music, it's my fault.
It's all good.
It was a link. I was looking up some Halloween costumes, but a commercial came on. I don't think it came on the mic, but just in case, my
Carlos
bad.
Carlos is like, skip that.
It stuck. Computer. But yeah, I definitely seen some cool ones. You know, if you have any funny ones, mi gente, tag us on the comments. And I think whoever tags us on the comments or tags their picture, I mean, on the comments, I'll hook you up with a little prize or something like that. If
wristbands? Cool.
Yeah, some wristbands.
That's been the free gift of choice lately. Yeah.
They're dope, though. They're really cool. We have so many to give to all of our guests.
I think with all the funny costumes that we've been talking about also comes those that are a little like...
borderline, you know.
Look at that transition. Good job.
Learning.
He was waiting for
moving on up.
You know, you always have a borderline costume that... sometimes, like, it's, and I have a problem with it as well, because sometimes it's like, damn, like, I don't know what's borderline or not.
Yeah.
And like, you'll see something and be like, oh, like, you laugh, but you shake your head at the same time. And
yeah,
I've seen a couple costumes like that already this year, like the whole Paris with Kim Kardashian.
Right.
That's one of those, like, damn, you know, you're kind of laughing at the fact that something bad happened.
Right.
But unfortunately, I think the society that we live in nowadays is that, you know,
we think it's okay to make fun of
pop
things.
Culture, we look at it as not like it's not como se dice, it's not like they live a fantasy life, right? We don't really put
like they're not real people.
Exactly. So sometimes, you know, I see some costumes. I know for a lot of years, the whole blackface was that's big thing, you know.
Still people, going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's still going on. And I remember when I was in college, there were some kids in our college campus dressed up and they were like, oh, I'm Tupac and I'm this. And it's like, yo, like, that's kind of like, why are you putting yourself in blackface? Like, it's just you know, kind of rude. And then you'll have some people that will throw a Mexican cholo party. And it's like, yo, like you're making fun of.
I know someone that
there's
did
a
that.
Lifestyle. Yeah. I saw you know, one was dressed up as like homeless people, and then the other one they dressed up as like mental patients in a psych ward. And it's like, yeah, it's a costume, and maybe, you know, society is becoming very sensitive to things like that. But it's like, these are people's real life struggles and, you know, their lifestyle that they're living. So it's like,
I think, you know, people should stick to your cosplay if you want to, you know, have a story behind it, not just be, oh, I'm a bum for Halloween. Right. Like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah,
like that's really rude. Yeah. Or just do like you said, you know, I'm a mental patient. Have a story behind it. Be a mental zombie. You know what I'm saying? Like don't just go out there and be such an asshole. And nowadays, I feel like a lot of people I mean, this has been happening for many, many years. I just feel like nowadays it's just easier to take a picture of it, right?
Right.
And Carlos, I know that there was a story that we published through La Verdad that's been getting some attention.
Yeah.
And it kind of has to go with that same route where people making fun of current event issues that kind of hit home. So can you talk a little bit about that?
But I think that just to add on to what you said though first, just like there's the idea where some people do it to be funny, some people do it on purpose, knowing that it's going to cause a ruckus, knowing that it's going to cause attention.
That's what they want. That's exactly
correct,
what they want.
Correct. And so that's why every year, right around Halloween, if you just look up Halloween racism, every year you're going to see blackface. You're going to see people dressing up like Mexicans, like Native Americans. And sometimes they're ignorant, right? So I don't get as mad as just like do better next time, but other times they know exactly what they're doing. And that's kind of what happened over at Michigan State Friday night. Right. So it's Sunday right now. So this would be the Friday right before Halloween, right? The kids are celebrating Monday, all the adults and the college students start celebrating probably Thursday or Friday, all these parties. And somebody who I know, it's actually an undergrad member in the fraternity that Christian and I are in. I saw him post something on Facebook about what he experienced, that there were some, he didn't call them white, but I saw in the picture, you know, blonde kids, more than likely, unless, you know, they've got some, I don't know, 10% Native American or something. It's pretty safe to say these kids for the most part are visibly white. And so he said they were walking around. A few of them were wearing, like Mexican hats, jarapes. Another one was wearing a shirt that said "Build a Wall and Make America Great Again." And they were just walking around, asking people like, "Hey, are you, you know, are you Mexican?" This and that, trying to find Mexican people. Then they responded back to them like, "You know, what are you guys doing? This isn't okay." And then they started justifying and saying, "Hey, this is a joke, and all Mexicans are drunk, so it's okay that we're doing what we're doing." That was their actual answer. Wow. He's a real nice kid, a great leader. He's actually the student liaison to the university's board of trustees. So he's actually the student representative to the board who oversees the university president. And so I reached out and I was like, "Hey, you know, how are you doing? If you want, I can share this over on La Verdad to help spread the attention," since I knew that's what he was doing when he posted on Facebook. So he said yes. Then I also chatted with him some more. And he told me that this happened Friday night, and Friday during the day, they had a board of trustees meeting, and a bunch of students were actually making the case to the board that, "Hey, there's a lot of discrimination. We're not feeling welcomed on campus." Mm. And then at night, this is what happens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think he handled it well. Myself now, right, being a little older, I work in higher ed, so I probably handle it closer to he did. But when I was a college student, honestly, one of those kids would have caught a punch in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That was my attitude then. Like, now I guess I mature a little more. So as long as I don't feel threatened in any way, I probably would leave it alone. I was like, "These are just dumb kids." But what you're seeing is kind of another form of that racism that students, and not just students, people deal with all over the country.
Long ago that, like, at different universities, and I think even DePaul too, where I went, there were like people were like using chalk and writing racial mm-hmm. slurs all over campus. Wasn't that going around recently too?
Yeah, especially at DePaul, actually.
Yeah.
I can tell you that happens every single semester at schools around the country.
Yeah, so I remember at the university that I went to, Lewis University, we had a huge, we ended up getting t-shirts done that said, "I am not a stereotype," because then there were some kids who, so first thing that had happened was they drew a swastika on our dorm, right? And our dorm was the only one that had a moreno, two Latinos, a white guy, and a Asian guy, right? So we're very, very diverse in that little section. So they drew a swastika. Then they drew another swastika on the Moreno's guy's car. Then there were some girls. So there was a lot of protests going on campus. This is like think of Black Lives Matter, but just in that one little campus because of that racial incidents that were happening. We were having vigils. It's a Christian campus. So it's a Catholic campus. So, you know, prayer, they will have vigils. We had an outside mass. We had a lot of things happening for the minority. And then, like, some white guys were, like, really, really drunk, you know, very obnoxious. And they hung, they threw down a noose in front of the, so they lived on top of a dorm of all Black females. And they threw a noose, and they just had the noose outside of the window, like, taunting them.
My God.
And hitting their window, like, saying, like, "Oh, you know," and that brings back bad vibes, you know. And I remember the cops came, Univision was there. Just a lot of stuff, and you know, it's sad to see. And I remember being in the campus, and as a Latino, I would get so upset because the non-Latino people would treat the cleaning staff or staff that was Latino, they would treat them like shit and just make them very like you're somebody else, like you're not the same as me, like you're inferior because of what you do. And it all comes back to, it's a scary situation, is a scary world that we live in, to know that in some of these suburbs and some of these, even the city and some of these people's households, they have that mentality growing up, that that person is less than you, that that person is not a human enough
right.
than you. And they don't have value. And that pisses me off.
Yeah. So, Carlos, so what was that? I mean, when you talked to this guy even further about like what he wrote and stuff like that, what did he say or what was going on?
He was just, he was fed up, right? So this wasn't just one incident. It's an incident in a line of other things that have been going on campus, right? It's something that's been going around the country.
Right.
I think sometimes people blame Trump too much for what's going on. This always existed. It's just that now they can connect it to a big figure. So they're doing that. But the truth is, it's nothing new. It happened when I actually went to Michigan State myself. We had protests. We had meetings with the president and some of the deans. And the same thing, we never felt like they cared about what we had to say, and they would always just brush it off to the side. Mm-hmm. Outside, you know, we always have our allies in the university, but by and large, we always felt that it was ignored or it wasn't addressed accurately. Now with social media, you know, people are getting shamed publicly, and that's drawing mm-hmm. more attention.
Exactly. But you know what's really fucked up is that there's always that things like that has always happened. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like a lot of people are thinking that it's okay because of the piece of shit candidate that we have running. And the fact that he's making it okay. And he's making it kind of like a trend where all these people are like, oh, I could do it too. You know, I'm just going by what Trump is saying. Mm-hmm. It's just like, dude, like, man, it just pisses me off because all those, everything that we've been working on, everything that we've been trying to stand up for is just like, you know, getting washed up again or getting pushed over to the side. And it's just very frustrating to see that in this society, especially me having a daughter or a kid, you know, us having kids, just like, is it going to get worse? You know, is it going to be even worse for our kids later on? And it's just very, very scary.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be worse long term, but I think it'll be worse before it gets better. Mm. Right. So what you're seeing is I studied sociology in college, and there was this theory, and I don't remember the name, but I never liked learning theories. But the idea is this: when you have a group that's in power and they feel that another group is going to take that power, there's going to be a natural inclination to fight, right? You see it on a sports team. A new player comes in younger, they're going to bump heads a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I want this position. But what you're seeing is there's a big segment of the white population in the country that see things like, you know, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, that they're seeing President Obama, and they're seeing certain visible figures, and they believe that that means that overall everything is okay for everyone. Furthermore, they're going to many of them start believing that, hey, you know how we treated all these black people, you know how we treated all these, you know, brown people throughout the years? There's a sentiment deep down inside that it's going to be done to them. And so a reaction is to fight for what they're viewing as the loss of power. Mm. And so that's why I say I think it'll get worse. There are a lot of good, you know, white allies who understand their perspective and who fight back, but you're seeing it all around. Sometimes it comes out through jokes. Right, I'm looking at a friend, one of my Facebook friends. He's actually an author, and he's been sharing posts. He's been sharing consistently over the weekend that are similar. He shared the one that we posted also, but similar things. There's two high school students, two young ladies. They're making fun of the Native American protesters in No Dapple with signs that say, you know, I got a job. I'm gonna protect the water now, and water is life. No Dapple, and they're dressed like Native Americans. And it's a Snapchat where on the bottom, like, the comment says, let's start a riot. Ha, ha, ha. There's at the University of Wisconsin over the weekend, yesterday's football game, there was a guy dressed up as Obama in a prison suit, hanging a noose by himself. You have people in blackface at the University of Central. So it's happening everywhere. Sometimes it comes out as violence. Sometimes it comes out as, hey, we're just like, what are you guys still fighting about? Slavery's over. Or, you know, I know your parents are immigrant, but you're here now. You have no excuses. So it comes out in different way, but it's all part of that dissatisfaction that's happening with a segment of people who had a lot of power and feel like it's being taken away.
And that's a lack of education, too. Like, slavery, certain forms of slavery may be over, but slavery isn't over.
Yeah. That resonated a lot with what you were talking about, Carlos, because it's something that makes a lot of sense when you see the people that are doing it, right? It's like this rage of, man, like, you know, they probably don't know about it, but subconsciously they're doing it, you know, because of the fact that, you know, oh, we need to keep making fun of them because they're gonna take over. Now the question is it okay for our own people to make fun of our own? And that always kind of, like, you know, when I see, for example, I'll use a costume like the paletero or a costume of, you know, dressing up as a drunk mariachi singer, right? Mm-hmm. Is it okay when a Latino does it, making fun of his own culture?
Like, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
It's one of those things where I personally have always thought, and this is my opinion, right?
Yeah,
I think it is offensive when you're poking fun of a certain crowd, But how do I explain it? It's like, well, it's okay, like, when you're cosplaying, right? Like, I think it's okay if it's part of a movie, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna dress up as a mariachi, but it's because I'm dressing up as Desperado from you know, the movie, or I'm dressing up as Jane the Virgin or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, you're dressing up as something. But I feel like when somebody dresses up, like if a Mexican guy would come in and dress up as a jibaro, you know, to me, I'll be like a little offended. You know,
jibaro being Puerto Rican. Just for people who don't understand what you said.
Though. A jibaro is like a Puerto Rican farm worker, right? Yeah, that's cool. And to me, like, that's where I draw a little bit, because then you start dealing with, do you know what that is? Do you know what it means to mm-hmm. be that? So that, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I think, like, so part of me is thinking back to, like, how people take ownership of themselves and who they are, right? So it's like when it's like people who are overweight, right? Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes, like, their defense mechanism is to make fun of themselves first, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. before anyone else can, because I already did it now. Now you can't. It's not funny, because I've already done it to myself and I'm okay with that. So then I don't know. Is the same idea apply then to where if I were to wear something that was poking fun or making a joke at Latinos or Puerto Ricans or what have you, but you know what I mean? I don't know.
But why does it go back to it having to be funny? Like, there's nothing funny about if that's how someone's making their living, as far as like a paletero man. If that's what their costume is, like, it shouldn't be funny. That's someone's job, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I think that you have a really good point. I just personally don't connect them, right? So I think the idea of Latinos making fun of ourselves or Black people making fun of themselves, you know, Asian people making fun of themselves, that's one conversation about self-respect and how you're going to address it. Mm-hmm. When somebody else does it to you, that's a separate conversation about, you know, respecting others and what it means for the power dynamics of the groups, right? Yeah. So the fact that somebody feels a certain way is one thing, but having power and having influence, and certain times there's also a history connected to it, right? So the whole idea of why we have certain teams, like, you know, let's hit on the Cleveland Indians, since we have a couple Cubs fans in the on the show today. So, like, you know, Cleveland Indians is one of the most offensive mascots in the country.
Yep.
When you have blackface, the history of blackface goes back to minstrel shows where people of African descent were made to, you know, act like clowns to entertain white people predominantly. When you're seeing the Speedy Gonzalez, arriba, arriba, ora, andale, andale. And when you're seeing those things, that's, again, part of that same trajectory. So there's a historical precedence as to why this franchise people are made fun of around the world. And it's usually related to the power dynamics of those who are oppressing them. In this case, higher income white people for the most part, but you also get some other things that play in there. I just think it's a separate conversation, but it's still a really valid critique. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think we should be making fun of the vulnerable in our community either. So I still think it's a good critique though. And something for people to think about.
And it begs the question of, you know, what's a bigger impact? Is it more of not a bigger impact, but what's the bigger issue here? Is it making fun of the race itself or making fun of the disenfranchised
people? It's a mix of both.
And I think a lot of times we see that is that the fear, the actual underlying factor of a lot of it is the oppression of the poor people, you know, and the people, the disenfranchised people, you know, because when you have the poor starting to rise up, which is the majority, that's when it gets a little scary. And I think that every single costume and every single joke that they have is making fun of somebody that's a little less fortunate, you know, or unless you're really making fun of the actual culture itself, which is like, you know, you're just being an asshole. But
yeah, and it's tough. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say some people don't know they're actually, and that's like even worse sometimes too. Like the one person that I personally know, you know, she dressed up as she put like you know, like the Mexican blanket on her, and then she wore the sombrero, and she was a Mexican for Halloween, I think it was. I don't know. Whatever.
Where's this friend from?
I went to high school with her.
Oh, like back, like yeah, white, black, ethnicity.
She's white.
Okay.
a Caucasian, if you want to be really formal. I don't know. Maybe she's Italian. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. It's okay. I got you.
Latina. And, you know, granted, at the time that I saw this, I wasn't sitting here thinking what we're talking about right now. I wasn't, you know? So then it's like, okay, I don't think she knew. I don't think she meant any harm, quote unquote, by it either. But then it's like, then there's all of those, there are people out there that are doing this that they don't realize how offensive it is sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And unfortunately, like that's one of the things that we're talking about is that, you know, there's the people that do it on purpose, you know, so that people could get a rise out of it. And then there's people that think it's okay. Like, it's just, you know, and I think it's our job as a media outlet to say, hey, it's not okay to move on my culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And also when you talk about some of those who don't know, I think that's valid, but it speaks to the point of the fact that it's so normalized, right? Racism, exactly. Discrimination, it's normalized to the point where they don't know that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. For some of these kids, they see no difference between, you know, wearing a Kiss Me I'm Irish shirt on St. Patrick's Day and wearing, you know, a Native American costume on Halloween. To them, it's the exact same thing. And so that's where you start educating them on what's what. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't be forced to educate either, because that's another piece. Sometimes a lot of pressure is forced on us to always be that, hey, is this okay? Is that okay? It's like, you can do your own research. There's Google. So I think it's about find that balance. Like, yeah, I'll teach you, but there's enough information out there where you can find your own answers.
And that's nowadays, you just got to be lazy to not, you know, understand it. And it's just, come on, I feel like it's just common sense, you know? Like, I'm not gonna sit there and make fun of a handicapped person, or I'm not gonna sit there and make fun of Fulano de Tal in the corner. It's just, come on, like, you wouldn't want somebody to do that to you. Don't do it to somebody else.
And it's also good to point out that it happens all over Latin America also, so we do it ourselves.
Yep.
You go to Latin America, I've seen this in Dominican Republic when I went, and I also saw this when I was in Brazil, blackface on TV.
Oh, but yeah.
Puerto Rico. They got in a show in Puerto Rico. I remember got in big trouble a couple of years back for that.
His name was Raymond Arrieta. And yeah. He did a segment that he had like blackface and then put on a afro.
Yeah, afro, like painting the lips all red and bigger. So it happens. So that's a piece of it. Check your own people also. You know, we have lighter skin Latino making fun of darker skin Latino, or making fun of like the indigenous ones, and like, oh, so Indio Bruto, you know, like saying all these dumb stuff. And so that's also a piece of it. If you're the same way that you want people to address it about us, like if you know it, say, you know, if you see something, say something. In this case, we should do it, you know, and check our own people as well when they're in the wrong. Yeah. Because that's another piece of it, right? There's a lot of racism and discrimination all throughout Latin America, and with the Latinos, time, especially with the Latinos in this country.
Yeah, you always hear certain things like, you know, if you talk to any older Puerto Rican, right, they'll tell you, like, you know, little stories here and there. Like, for example, within my own family, my grandmother came from a more of a black features. You
get
know,
closer to the mic. There you go.
Yeah, she had African features. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather's father was very, you know, let's just say racist when it came down to that. I remember, you know, there were stories where he would say, oh, no quiero que te con esa negra, you know, va a joder la raza, stuff like that.
And it's that's a common term all through Latin America.
Yep. And it's like, whoa, like it's weird to see that within Latin America, because you know what? It all goes back to that slavery that was brought in and people just oppressing a certain group of people to make them look like they're less than human. Because then if you don't qualify them to be as a human being, you can do whatever you want with them, right?
And what's, you know, to add on top of that, the richest part of our cultures is coming from that African and indigenous part of our roots. When it comes to the, you know, music, merengue, salsa, cumbia, Argentina, the tango, a lot of that music is rooted in African and indigenous instruments.
The food.
The food, right? I was chatting with a friend of mine. We had some neighbors for a couple of years who were, I want to say they were Eritrean or Ethiopian. And sometimes, you know, we would cook and like they would cook and we'd smile and it'd be pretty similar. Then my mom would share some of our fruit with them and like their mom would share it with us. And it was like really, it's different name, but super similar sazon. Yeah. The rice was slight variation. It's like, to me, it was like saying, you know, Puerto Rican, Dominican, and Cuban food. We like, all cook the same shit, just slightly different.
Like, where do you think mofongo comes from? Come
exactly.
on, man.
Mofongo, mango.
Yeah.
So I think approaching it from a point of food, music, but and if you really want to get deep, religion too.
Oh yeah,
that's a big way. Even those, you know, in Puerto Rico, you have a big Carismático movement, right? The Carismático. If you study who they were at the foundation of why they worship the way they do, a lot of it was rooted in what they'll call Espiritismo, Espiritistas. Those people. No, I'm sorry. Let me go back. That's not the Carismático. That's still within the Christian, but I can apply it to them. But there's the Espiritismo in Puerto Rico, and a lot of it was in the way that the indigenous people worship. That's where they still say that they'll talk to spirits, that they'll, you know, they'll talk to the ancestors, or what they would do is the way that a lot of countries in Mexico, they have the Virgen de Guadalupe, which they adore. In Dominican Republic, they'll call it the Virgen de Altagracia. So this idea of taking Mary, you know, from the Catholic tradition and turning it into that big mother figure. If you study where it happened in Mexico, the first place the Guadalupe appeared was on top of an indigenous shrine for Tonatzin. So the Catholic Church started building cathedrals right on top of where the native people were worshiping and just told them, hey, it's the same person. Just and that's why you have this big veneration for, you know, La Virgen de Maria, and they call it a million different names around the world. Yep. But a lot of it is rooted in the way that the original people from that culture were worshiping.
Yeah, which is one of, and I think, man, we're definitely going to have to get into a
Yo, let's get your friend who's a Santero.
Yeah. We're up.